We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Paul Henneke. Paul studied marketing at UW-Milwaukee before being drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2012. He enjoyed a successful five-year minor league career before deciding to retire last July. During his playing career, he used his minor and major league connections to develop video content for a startup company called Swing Rail, which specializes in baseball training aid products. Recently, he helped design a new tee training baseball that has just begun to sell on Amazon, Walmart, and swingrail.com. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited, not only because of the fact that you're producing content, but I'm also a fan of baseball, so it's going to be a really good conversation.
Yep.
And you studied marketing, so obviously that's my space of expertise. Let's just start right away with Swing Rail. What did you do, or how did you get involved in this?
So that basically started maybe in 2016. Somewhere in that time frame, I was working out in the off season down in Racine at a place called Hitters Baseball. I don't know if you heard of it. It's a pretty big indoor training facility that's kind of right off the highway down there in Caledonia. And so I was just working out one day, and then in walks Dan Miller, who's the current owner of Swing Rail, and he kind of came in with a prototype for this product, baseball training product, and he kind of asked me what I thought of it. And I tried it out a little bit, and he was kind of in the beginning stages of getting this thing off the ground and running. And I basically just told him, hey, if you need any help, let me know. I think you got a really good product here. I like what it tries to accomplish. I think it can help a lot of kids. And if you need any help, just let me know. I can use some of my connections to help you out with this thing, with some marketing or even just kind of product design.
Cool. So you found that you believed in the product and wanted to help them out.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a neat thing.
And, yeah.
I wasn't really concerned about what I'd do after baseball at that point, but I kind of thought it'd be cool to get into something with, a business or startup, something like that. So I thought it'd be kind of a neat experience for me just to help them out a little bit.
Yeah. So, a lot of people aspire to make it to the professional level of sports, and it's a long, hard journey, I'm sure. But what was the best part of playing professional baseball?
I just think a lot of the people I met, lifelong mm-hmm. friends that I met, really just the experience in general. You don't get paid a lot in the minor leagues, but if you measure it more experience-based, I think it really is a good thing. Met so many good people, coaches, teammates. Just really, really have no regrets about playing and enjoyed every part of it. Well, the tough part was the travel, bus rides, stuff like that. But it's really just, I'm really grateful to have that opportunity to do something that not a lot of kids get to do.
You know?
So I kind of tried to stay positive with it and not take it for granted.
Good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And good advice too for everyone moving forward. So what are your hobbies? Is baseball still in that lineup there?
Not necessarily. I've tried to get away from it, honestly.
Yeah.
Last summer I kind of just really didn't enjoy showing up to the ballpark and thought it was time to try something else. So walked away from it. Don't miss it that much at this point. I miss the competing part of it. I'm mm-hmm. pretty competitive, so finding something to fill that void is kind of the next step. But right now my hobbies include, I like to golf a lot, working on my swing, trying to change it from baseball to golf. So
that's probably a little hard.
It's a little tough. Yeah. A little different strokes. Uh-huh. I'm kind of all over the place right now, but hopefully I can get back to where I was. And then
sure.
I also like, I play a lot of poker, Texas Hold'em. kind of study it a lot. And actually right now I'm kind of, that's how I'm supporting myself until I get something going, is I play a lot of poker. So, yeah, I love doing that too. Well,
competition right there, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, obviously the topic of the show is networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've got?
Yeah, it'd probably be with Swing Rail, mm-hmm. and just helping Dan get some endorsements from professional players. And I basically just kind of use my connections in that area to get videos of players endorsing the product, talking about the product, telling the customer, you know, what it does and why it's important. And really, I was fortunate to have a good network of fellow teammates to help me out with that. There were a lot of minor league teammates that helped me out, friends, and then also now major league teammates that kind of talked about the product and demonstrated it. And I think it was really helpful for the business in the beginning to kind of get the word out and get the Swing Rail brand out there.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. I mean, leverage those connections any way that you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that helped probably build the relationship and the trust with the owner of Swing Rail as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a Wisconsin guy, and I just really wanted to help him out and, you know, see what happened. I thought it was a neat product, and, you know, now me and Dan have a great relationship and everything. So, you know, it's kind of a neat little story.
Sounds like it. Thanks for mm-hmm. sharing that with us. So you're back home in Wisconsin here, but obviously you were on the road a lot. You've probably met a ton of people, especially when you were in the major leagues. What do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network and community?
I don't really think I go out of my way to do anything specific. It's kind of just, you know, I like to talk to people, and I like to kind of joke around with people. So I think just kind of maybe a text message here and there with some of my friends and network community, I guess. But there's not, I don't really go too out of my way to nurture them at this point, but I don't really think there's any nurturing to do, I guess, in my situation. So it's more just kind of always maintaining a good relationship with people and kind of being nice to people, I guess. So, you know, they respect you and you respect them, and just kind of building a good relationship that way, I think is the most important thing in my situation.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, really just maintaining that respect can actually go a very long way. So what advice would you offer that business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I guess I would just say to meet as many people as possible. And I think that, being nice to people really works. The more people that like you, the more I think they're willing to help you out and the more they'll do for you. So I really think that's a big part of it, is just kind of being likable and just maintaining a good relationship with someone, so that, you know, they feel like you have kind of a friendship with them, I guess I would say is the main thing.
So I know that the majority of the people that you've connected with, it's very much been in that traditional setting. Obviously, when you're going through the minor leagues and baseball training, it's all, you're right there in front of everyone, very traditional sense. But with Swing Rail, you know, as I read in your bio, it's a lot of online activities, right? And that's how you're promoting the brand and getting things out there and creating some awareness. So in your experience, which one do you find more value in, that digital networking or traditional networking?
I think it probably depends on the situation, honestly. I think they're kind of equally important for Swing Rail, because without those personal connections I made, you know, just in person, not digitally, I think that had a huge impact on the company and, you know, the advertising and the marketing for it. But also at the same time, I think building a customer base and building your brand digitally is huge, because that's obviously where your customers are coming from, especially in Swing Rail's cases. You know, majority online sales, there's a couple retail stores it's in, but all the sales are basically, majority are online. So kind of building that digital network between your customers, you know, getting some email lists. I know he's done that. Dan's mm-hmm. done that. and kind of just, you know, having an open line of communication. Dan's great at, you know, if a customer has a question about a product, he'll go out of his way to individually respond and say, hey, if you don't like it, send it back.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of building that relationship with the customer and potential customers is, I think, valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes both ways. And to your point, again, that traditional component, which is those in-person relationships that you built, is really what kind of springboarded to where you are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And helping to build that content that supported the brand and everything.
Definitely.
Which was then used digitally.
Yes.
So, nice.
Yes.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I think, well, at the time, my professional career was baseball. So I'd probably say, I think I'd try to have more fun, to be honest, looking back now. Not that I didn't, but especially in college, I would have tried to have a little more fun. And I kind of took it like a job and very seriously. But once you get to the professional ranks, you realize it actually is a job. More so, still baseball, but still more of a job. So I think that in college, when I was 20, I would have said, have more fun, enjoy the experience, and, you know, just kind of, yeah, I guess, enjoy it more. Enjoy it. Don't worry about the results. Just enjoy the process and go from there.
I like that. Enjoy the mm-hmm. process. I think that's really important. And a lot of the guests that I've had have said similar things, like there's a balance of taking life seriously and having fun. And I think that I find it interesting, some of the guests that have been on the show, if it was like heavy either partying or just didn't care as much, but they were having a lot of fun, but not having intention with regards to their future paths, but also those that were super serious, you know, nose in the books and studying and just focusing on their career, look back and say, I wish I would have spent more time getting to know people and going out and meeting people and whatnot. So there mm-hmm. needs to be a balance in there, I think, to
Definitely.
Some degree. But enjoying the process, I think, is a powerful statement to share.
Yeah, especially in the field I was in athletically. If you get too caught up on the, it's cliche, but I think it's cliche for a reason. If you get too caught up in the results, you're not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to realize that, to kind of, I never really mastered it. I don't think you ever do, but to really push the results aside and just focus on, you know, the next pitch or the next play or whatever that may be. And it can go for a lot of things, business too. Like, don't worry about, you know, what the sales are. Worry about what leads to the sales, I guess, is
yeah.
what I've kind of,
the journey
done in my short experience.
Yeah,
with,
the journey.
With swing around,
the journey
yeah.
does to get there and trust the process too is the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not only enjoying it, but trusting that, you know, this next step is going to help you to get to that stat or that goal or whatever. It's not, I want to get there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who'd be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
The one person that I'd like to connect with, I've connected with a lot of people in the baseball world, but I kind of like to, maybe meet someone, maybe like the president, like President Trump, honestly, like I'd like to meet him and just talk to him and, you know, talk about politics or the economy. And I think I'd know enough people to where I could maybe make that happen. Maybe, I don't know, probably not. That's tough to meet the president right now, but maybe before he was president. But that's who I'd like to try to meet, I think, and talk to.
Okay.
Would be Donald Trump, if that's possible.
Sure.
Probably be tough right now.
I'd
probably
say
be pretty tough.
Right now, it might be very
challenging.
I think
I might be able to connect it in a roundabout way.
Although I know he's coming to Wisconsin very soon with regards to the whole Foxconn.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that headline somewhere that he'll be coming for some meeting or groundbreaking or something mm-hmm. along those lines. So he could be here. You could get your opportunity.
I'd really like to just kind of say hi to him and, you know, talk a little bit. So that's probably the one person that I'd try to get a hold of.
Okay.
Via the 6 degrees.
Yeah. I'm sure it sounds like you probably have some of those connections.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it might be a little bit more challenging now, but maybe down the road, it won't be as hard. So yeah. You'll have to report back on how that works out for
one.
You.
It'll be a tough one, but.
You know, I know you just finished up school, which not a lot of time for reading for your own pleasure, but as a business, someone in the business space, business owner, you find that you want to continue learning. And I'm always curious what book my guests are reading right now. So what's on your nightstand right now?
I actually just got done reading The Alchemist. I don't know if you ever read that book.
I have.
A friend suggested it to me, and I just kind of powered through it. It's a pretty easy read. Mm-hmm. It's kind of about this shepherd boy's journey across the Middle East to kind of find out what he wants to do and what he likes. And he learns a lot about himself along the way. And I just thought it was pretty interesting. Just kind of a good, not business book, but just kind of a life book in general.
Yeah.
To give you, to realize that you don't always think what things are. Or things don't always appear as they seem sometimes.
Sure. And
I thought it was a pretty good book. Really an easy read. And I was kind of skeptical at first going into it. But once I got into it, it was pretty good.
And cranked it out fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of books. Mm-hmm. So you can just crank right through them. And that message, I think, is important for a lot of people today. It seems as though there's just so much going on in the world that a lot of people need to know some guidance or path or something along those lines. So powerful read indeed. Paul, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I guess I would just say, and I'm still trying to figure this out too, is just kind of you got to look at what you're good at. What are you really good at? What do you like to do? And kind of not worry about how much money you make or not worry about anything like that, but find a passion, find what you're good at. And I'd say try to, build a network of people from there. And when you have a passion for it and you're good at it, I think good things will happen. That's kind of what I'm learning right now, is kind of just, follow what you want to do, what you like to do, and, things will happen accordingly.
I believe that very much so, is to definitely be in a space that you're passionate about. Don't try to force something on you that you don't believe in. And it's a lot easier to make those connections and build a network around your passion.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Really good advice. Paul, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
The best way would be my email, which is Paul Henneke, HOENECKE @gmail.com.
All right. And we will include that information in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Paul.
Thanks, Lori. It was really a pleasure to be here.
Good. Good conversation and lots of good advice that you shared with our listeners.
Thank you.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Paul for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori @socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.